give me the Bible. That is, we hope and pray for everyone's desire this morning. As you think about the Word of God and the danger of these realms below, the safety that we find in the Word of God. I was listening to Brian Harris's good lesson a few weeks ago. For those sermons are online at woodmontchurch.org. We have several members that are willing to use their God-given talents in the Lord's service, and we're so very thankful for each and every person who is willing to not only serve, but to participate. For we recognize that as Christ is head over all things of the church, which is his body, that we are responding to the head, and we do that when we're responding to the word of God, the words of Christ, as we think about Jesus is the Word from John chapter 1. Last week we talked about starting over in 2023, and the great blessing of God's Word and God's will and God's way is that really every day is really a starting over process for the Christian, as we can be renewed every day by the Word of God. And if you've been reading through your Bible, if you're starting from the beginning, very likely you've read through concerning that every imagination of the people's hearts is only evil continually in Genesis chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he's told to build the ark. He finally had enough, and he built the ark, and him and their sons, him and his wife and their sons and the wives that they married, were safely in the ark, while Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And we see that the result of sin concerning the warnings that were given. Teach me the danger of these realms below. Concerning these people did not have a fear of God in order to obey him. What has the world been? Why has the world been so wicked these past 50 years or so, especially? People do not fear God. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. When you look at the word of God, and Solomon, writing by inspiration, wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,000 songs, and so we have them written down in the word of God. Think about, what is the beginning of knowledge? Well, most people say, well, obviously it's the ABCs, right? That's the beginning of knowledge. You know, as you think about concerning what the Word of God says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What is the problem with most individuals? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't want to humble themselves before God, and so we're going to try to find any other means and ways to whereby we won't believe in God so that we won't have to obey him. And so when we think about the foolish despise God's wisdom and instruction. What's interesting is reading through biographies of gospel preachers in the past, you go back to the 1800s, and these people were hard-working individuals, very little education. Here they would be working on the farm and have very little time for instruction. But what did they have? They had the reading of the Word of God in their hearts. And you think about the power of that Word. They had the fear of the Lord, which you look upon those who are faithful gospel preachers working throughout their lives. And thus we shouldn't be surprised in the wisdom literature that we're going to see the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, like in Job and Psalms and here in Proverbs. In Ecclesiastes, the familiar refrain, to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God is going to bring every act into judgment. Are you fearing God or being foolish? Let's examine the text. We look in Romans chapter 3, again, as we're studying through the book of Romans with Brett as he's teaching the class, and we see in Romans chapter 3 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he's going to quote Old Testament passages here. And one of them is in Romans 3 and verse 18. What is the problem? As he's quoting from Psalm 36 and verse 1 during David's time. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's why they go into this sin and wickedness and evil. And what does it all start with? It all starts with what? It all starts with being disobedient to parents. Do you realize under the Old Testament what was the punishment for being disobedient to parent, which was just like no big deal in many families, to whereby the children rule the roost over the parents. The parents don't, the children don't have to obey the parents. In Deuteronomy chapter 21 in verses 18 through 21, Deuteronomy 21 verses 18 through 21, this is what was said under the law of Moses. I understand, I'm not trying to say we're under the law of Moses. I'm just trying to show what God thinks about those who are disobedient. In Deuteronomy 21, verse 18, if any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them. Notice here concerning that they are chastising him. They aren't allowing, they aren't just letting him run wild, whatever he wants or whatever she wants or desires. Then his father, and he won't listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death, so you shall remove the evil from your midst. Why is so God and so mean and so nasty? Here are those who are children. Well, obviously they're old enough to rebel against God, to be stubborn and rebellious, to be gluttons and drunkards. And here, why does God want them to be stoned to death? The scripture says, and all Israel will hear of it and what? And fear as a result. The respect that as you think about these individuals and these cases. In Romans chapter 1, we read in that chapter concerning those who rebel against God. They refuse to acknowledge him as God, but became futile in their speculations. As you see the creation, and all people have no excuse for not believing in God. So God gives them up to the lust of their flesh. And you think about all the wickedness and sin and evil of homosexuality, and you look upon those who would murder and be greedy, full of envy and strife and gossips and slanders. In that passage, he says in Romans 1 verse 30, he said, those who are disobedient to parents. And you know what he said about that? Those who practice such things are worthy of death. Now, we don't get the death penalty for being disobedient to parents, but it leads to a life of ruin and destruction for those who are disobedient to their parents. And 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2 concerning in the last days, we've been living in the last days since that period of time, and we see that there be those who are disobedient to parents. Well, we recognize or should recognize what is it all the beginning of knowledge. And hopefully you and me, very likely concerning our parents, hopefully brought us up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord and remembering this passage and have taught us by the book of Proverbs in everyday life to realize that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And you see, for those who submit to parents' instruction, I want you to notice concerning the blessings, because you think about the persecution that you're going to receive. Well, you listen to your mom and dad. Why don't you grow up and be a man? Why don't you grow up and be a woman like everybody else and have a good time? It's no fun to obey your parents. Notice how God looks upon it after he mentions the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And he said, hear, my son, your father's instruction. So it's like a father talking to his son. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. In verse 9, what are they? For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. How oftentimes individuals maybe are jealous and envious concerning all those maybe superior athletes who get all these awards and get the praise of so many individuals. And you see the sports stars are making millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they're praised and lauded. And you see all that before you. Maybe those who are who get these scholarships, those who have this great intellect that they have been blessed with, have a high IQ, and they get these awards, or those who win a contest, whatever it might be. And I'm just obeying my parents. I want you to think about what the Word of God says and what God says about you, because it's like, in a figurative sense, God putting a crown on your head. And when you think about the pendants or a beautiful necklace, as you think about a woman receiving this beautiful necklace, and here is a sign of honor, maybe concerning a loved one or a parent or a boyfriend or a spouse, and you think about this beautiful ornament, this honor that God has granted, and here he wants you to hear that. He wants you to hear that as you're submitting your parents' instructions. So Ephesians chapter 6, in quotation from the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 20, concerning what are the blessings here in submitting. First of all, a child says, why do I have to obey my parents? I hear concerning, some talk about concerning children have rights and children don't have to obey their parents. Well, where is that coming from? Is that coming from God's word, or is that coming from the world? Is that coming from Satan, who's trying to deceive people into believing a lie? In Ephesians chapter 6, God tells us why. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For what? For this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Why? That it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. And so, of course, as you think back to the promises, the blessings, if you are obedient, God is going to take care of you and provide for all of your needs. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you disobey, you're going to suffer the consequences. You're going to be a famine land. God is not going to provide for you. God is not going to take care of your enemies as you would if you're obedient to him. Concerning submitting to parents' instructions, it all begins with the fear of the Lord. And hopefully, as the parents have that fear of the Lord and recognize that and are able to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of God's will and God's way for their good. While the foolish have no fear of God. What are we teaching our children? How are our children responding to the Word of God? I can see many good examples here concerning parents bringing their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As you think about, in a figurative sense, concerning the crown, what a blessing it is, and the joy that is there when you see your children that are being obedient, not only to you, but to the Lord. Well, when the foolish having no fear of God, when you have God out of the way, what do you have the problem? Well, you have the problem of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. And the temptations that are there in the book of Proverbs to those who are naive, to those who are innocent, and even concerning those who might be frustrated with life and the temptation. Well, I'm stuck in this marriage relationship, and I see somebody here who is younger, who is more desirable. And here we have the warnings from God's word, especially from a young person's standpoint in Proverbs chapter 7. Realize you look at Proverbs chapter 5 through 7, there are many warnings. In Proverbs chapter 7, we see the temptations of youthful lust. In Proverbs chapter 7. And as you think about the temptation, the forbidden pleasures of this world, and here in Proverbs chapter 7, Proverbs chapter 7, and here is this young person, this young male. You can almost kind of think about it today as far as how many times concerning those who meet somebody on the internet, and they're going to meet them at a place at midnight, in the middle of the night. And supposedly nobody is able to look. And here is this woman, meets him, verse 10, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. So as she is immodestly dressed and enticing. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home, now in the street, now in the market. And at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face she says to him, I am to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vow. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. So that the ego that is going on here, I've sought out you, and here's this beautiful and enticing, modestly dressed woman. I've come out to meet you, and I've sought you out eagerly. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. Notice here in verse 19, she is trying to, as far as imagine in his mind, that nobody's going to know. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. Notice what happens in verse 21. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, how does he respond? He's responding by the lust of his flesh. He doesn't have a fear of God before his eyes. And here are these enticing temptations that are out there. And those who are fleshly minded, this is what is going to happen to them. All at once, he follows her. Notice how God describes it. As an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will what? That it will cost him his life. It's going to cost him his life. The danger and the consequences of going down this road, where many are going down there to fulfill forbidden desires, fulfill forbidden pleasures. From this woman. And another problem here is concerning the drinking of alcohol. Those who would go down this road in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, what Solomon says by inspiration. Remember, as you think about a father talking to a son, what does he say? He said, wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. And so here are the foolish that go down this path. And in Proverbs chapter 23, he gets into specifics. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Who has that? Those who tarry long over wine, those who go to try mixed wine, do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. What happens? Oh, it feels so good right at the beginning. In the end, what happens? It bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart utter perverse things. And so as you think about what happens concerning the hallucinations, concerning the speech, which normally concerning maybe an individual who hasn't been drinking, who is sober, isn't using profane things. But here your heart will utter perverse things. You'll be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, like one who lies down at the top of a mast. They struck me, you'll say, but I was not hurt. They beat me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake? I must have another drink. So here are these individuals, as Ephesians 2 verse 3 talks about, indulge in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were children of wrath even as the rest. Not that they were born that way, but it's become second nature to them. That here they're practicing sin. They have no fear of God in their eyes. Does that sound interesting or a pleasure to you who have been obedient to the will of God? And think about, I see all my friends are having a good time drinking and partying and all of that. Well, God is telling us and telling you and telling me concerning the warnings about what it leads to. It leads to death, leads to separation from God. The way of the transgressor is hard in Proverbs 12 and verse 15. And very likely what happens is to the naive concerning those who are in bad company. The warnings of 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33, that bad company corrupts good morals. The good moral habits that you are taught concerning the bad company. And here you start to get talking to a friend and here enticing you in these sinful, evil, and wicked things. My son, if sinners entice you, do what? Do not consent. Say no to sin. And he's going to talk about the pathway that it leads down to. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 12. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 12. Here's what it's able to protect you against. Here is the lifesaver of God's word, the safety in the word of God, the protection for your soul in Proverbs 2 and verse 12. Are you listening? Proverbs 2 and verse 12. He said, delivering you from the way of evil, as he's talking about wisdom and being obedient. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. Delivering you from the way of evil, from men a perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. We've been talking about as far as the false teacher, the false prophet, they use smooth and flattering speech. They deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. They want to make you feel good and, hey, this is, we're going to have a good time with this. It's, you know, why would you go along with that old, obeying your parents and being a goody two-shoes and all of that? Well, it's going to protect you from that strange woman in Proverbs chapter 6. In Proverbs chapter 6, notice in verse 23, Proverbs 6, the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. To do what? To preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. You're like prey. They are like prey. They're like putty in their hands. And so the warnings are given. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or one who walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. But you are protected from that if you are heeding the word of God. And the whole thing is that finding those who are godly, those who are going to be good are going to give you good advice and you can enjoy your time with them because you're not going to plot to do evil against with you. In Proverbs 13, verse 20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So flee youthful lust, the temptations to go down this road, the temptations to look at pornography, the temptations to commit sexual immorality or adultery or gamble, or lie, or cheat, or steal, or gossip, or slander, going down that road. To flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. Another temptation concerning those who are foolish, who have no fear of God, of being selfish and being lazy, only thinking about themselves. In Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6, you think about God's creatures and why did God create the ants? I've already people talk about why did God create the ants? Why did he create the mosquitoes, those little creatures? They can sometimes be harmful as you think about red ants and the burning. And that God is going to use them as an example for the sluggard, for those who are lazy. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, go to the ant, O sluggard. Concerning her, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. The whole thing is concerning those who have no fear of God in their eyes, they don't realize what is going to happen. Like a robber comes when it's not expected to come, and they take you away. And here are those who are lazy, and they lose everything. They lose it all. And you talk about those who are selfish. There are several passages about this in the book of Proverbs. But in Proverbs chapter 18, to those who are selfish and those who are lazy. Have no fear of God in their eyes. How many co-workers or classmates do you have that are like that? Do they love to express their opinion? Oh, yes. They love to express their opinion, right? In Proverbs chapter 18, verses 1 and 2, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Why? Because they don't have the word of God. They don't have the fear of God before their eyes. In verse 2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Only expressing his own opinion. When you think about the word of God and the wisdom that is there, the foolishness that we see every day of our lives, all the opinions that are expressed because people don't listen to the word of God and they express opinions that are ignorant, that are foolish, that are evil and wicked and sinful. And the whole thing is that there are so many that influences so many other people who aren't listening to the word of God, who don't have the fear of God before their eyes. And hope and pray that you do. Hope and pray that you do. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about those who are selfish and lazy. How they have even a form of God. Sometimes there are those who appear, hey, this appears to be a good person. They're doing some good things, but here concerning their lifestyle is wrong. We need to be diligent. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to dig out the treasures that are in God's word. In Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, what Solomon says by inspiration as a father talking to his son, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. How many people love treasure hunts? And you think about, especially if there's lots of money involved and they're going to go after it with everything that they have. This is the way that it should be with the word of God, the treasures that are in the word of God. Because he says there in verse 5, if you do these things, then you will understand what? You will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. God wants you to have it, but you've got to dig it out. You think about the Bereans. Here the Apostle Paul is preaching the word of God. All these scrolls from the Old Testament, and here they are. They're receiving the word with great eagerness. How did they demonstrate that? They're examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. They're digging out the treasures. They're so interested in spiritual things. They want to hear the word of God. They have the fear of the Lord. That is the beginning of knowledge. And God has promised, you will find the knowledge of God. Digging out these treasures. So be diligent and present yourself approved unto God. As a what? As a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. A lazy, selfish person is not going to do that. We hope and pray that each and every one of us are going to be diligent to search out for it like we would for a hidden treasure. Well, and then as you think about those who are naive and innocent, and naive or innocent like I was growing up, why would anybody tell lies? Why would anybody? Well, the Bible is going to warn us concerning those who do evil. To a lot of them, it's fun. It's enjoyment. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 23. The word of God says this, what Solomon says by inspiration. He says in verse 23, doing wrong is like joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. What a contrast. Even the New American Standard would talk about wickedness is like sport to a fool. People love sports. It's a fun and game thing. Obviously not all of them, but here concerning the individual, and here they're trying to rile you up. You need to realize where they're coming from. and you have the understanding, verse 23, wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. To who? To those who have a fear of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 16, Proverbs 4, verse 16, here as he mentions the warnings not to go into the way of those who are evil, avoid it, do not go on it, turn away from it and pass on, verse 15. And verse 16, why? For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they what? Unless they have made someone stumble. There are those out there who might be your classmates or those who are your co-workers or maybe even neighbors. They're trying to trip you up. They're being used by the devil to destroy you because they have no fear of God before their eyes. They are foolish because you are either an instrument of righteousness or you're an instrument of wickedness, and you have to realize and have the wisdom from God to overcome that and realize that in your everyday life. As you look upon the individual who has the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge, they're going to hate evil and they're going to love wisdom. In Proverbs 8, in Proverbs chapter 8, in verse 13, Proverbs 8 in verse 13. What is the fear of the Lord here? The fear of the Lord is to hate what? Is to hate evil. And when you think about the word of God, pride and arrogance and the way of evil. I was looking at the wrong passage here. Fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Notice if you think about concerning those who are evildoers, it's obviously, wait a minute, doesn't God love everybody? God loved everybody so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for, so they might be forgiven of their sins. But it's their actions concerning those who are evil, those who have fear of God, they need to realize that in their life and wake up. Concerning those who have the fear of the Lord, they hate what is evil. What God says is evil, not what I think or what I feel is evil, not what the world thinks is evil, but what God says is evil, for his ways and thoughts are much higher than our ways and thoughts. In verse 17, notice it as he talks about wisdom. Wisdom is personified in this text. He said, I love those who love me, and those who seek me, what? Diligently will find me. Do you believe that? Hate evil and love wisdom. It's a protection and a guard for you, and it will bless you in your life. In Psalm 119 and verse 104, through your precepts, I get understanding. Where do I get it? Through your precepts. This is where I get understanding. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Therefore, I hate every false way. If we don't hate every false way, we are foolish. We don't have a true fear of God and what he says because, well, we got so many false teachers who are telling me what I want to hear. They're using that flattering speech, and I like to hear that, and it makes me feel good. But is it right before God? Am I listening to his wisdom? We're supposed to abhor evil and what? And love what is good. Hate evil and love what is good. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. The whole thing about it is that as we are living in a society concerning, well, you don't really have a choice. God has made you this way. It's a lie of the devil. We all have choices. Yes, you might have been born in difficult circumstances with ungodly parents or those who married, divorced, and remarried, and many families are going through that, and it's sad and it's tragic. But as you see many examples in the Bible that you can overcome that. But here are those that we see by inspiration concerning those who are despising God's wisdom and instruction. As wisdom is calling out every day, the word of God calling out in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20, in the busy streets. If you go down to verse 20, 24, I know I have verse 29 there, but because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you ignored all my counsel, would have none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen to those who are ignoring the counsel of God. As Brett had mentioned in the Bible class, yes, for a period of time they might have peace and tranquility, but here in the storms and whirlwind, distress and anguish are going to come. How can you say that? Because God's word says that. In verse 28, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Why? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. It is a choice that you are making every day of our life. Am I choosing to fear the Lord? Am I going to listen to wisdom, or am I going to listen to the world? Or I'm going to listen to bad company. I'm going to listen to my friends who are enticing me to sin. And they think that's the fun way to go. This is where it leads. They didn't choose the fear of the Lord. Would have none of my counsel and despise all my reproof. Therefore, verse 31, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have the feel of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. They're going to reap what they have sown in the end. What a terrible tragedy, because they refuse to listen to the word of God. What about these individuals who fail to find God's wisdom? The scripture says he injures himself. All who hate me love death. Yes, they might say that, hey, I have the freedom to pursue happiness. As you think about the founding of our country, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, God doesn't want you to be happy. He wants you to be holy and righteous. And how are you going to do that? By listening to the word of God. And those, he said, who hate me love death, because you're going to reap what you have sown. Those who sow to the flesh, well, the flesh will reap corruption. Those who sow to the spirit, well, the spirit reap eternal life. The harvest time is coming on. Don't be deceived. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. There are many passages on this concerning the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and all the rewards of doing that, the strong confidence that you'll have, the boldness, and where individuals think about, how can you be so bold and confident about your life with the mess that we are in, all the violence and evil and wickedness and sin that's all around about you, because of what? Because you fear the Lord. Because you're listening to the word of God, and you realize this is the beginning of knowledge and the rewards of eternal life. In Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, my son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Why? For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. What should you do? Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. And hopefully these are passages that you remember throughout your life, especially if you're young. Memorize these verses. It will help you every day of your life to do what? To trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And what does he say? It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Yes, it will be a blessing to you. In verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Do you believe that? Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life. Those who lay hold of her, those who hold her fast, are called blessed. Yes, as you think about concerning how we can know, having that fear of the Lord, Going back to what Brett had taught in the Bible class this morning, in the Gospel of Romans, the book of Romans there. You mentioned 1 John 2. Hopefully that's implanted out in our minds concerning how do we know God? How do we know Him? He begins with the fear of the Lord, beginning of knowledge. We know Him if we keep His commandments. This is how God's love is perfected in us. And as you talk to those individuals, should you have confidence in the Word of God, even though you're suffering through persecution, even though you're suffering in this world? I'm writing to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. Know that you have eternal life. That is strong confidence, rewarded with eternal life. Not that you deserve that, but through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the Word, who is willing to suffer and die a cruel and agonizing death on the cross so that you can be forgiven of your sins. Live for Him. Serve Him with joy and have eternal life in the end. So as you think about concerning, especially those who are young, are you disrespecting, talking back to them, or are you obeying your parents? Do you have the fear of the Lord, the consequences of that? The Old Testament concerning those individuals being stoned to death. It's a warning to others. This is how God looks upon that. Those who practice such things are worthy of death, separation from God. Are you fulfilling your lustful desires, or are you pursuing righteousness, what we find in the Word of God? Are you lazy, or are you diligent to dig out the hidden treasures? As you're reading and studying, and as you're examining, as you're putting into practice the Word of God, and you're digging out those treasures, you're learning something new every day from the mind of God, who wants you to know His will. Do you enjoy doing evil or learning wisdom? Because if you're not desiring to learn wisdom, you're going to compromise with evil. And say, well, I don't enjoy doing evil. But do you do it? Do you practice sin? Are you choosing, because it is a choice, are you choosing the way of death or eternal life? Are you choosing the fear of the Lord, or the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge, which fools despise that wisdom and instruction? The lesson is yours. If you need to obey the gospel, if you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, say, I haven't been learning the fear of the Lord, but now I realize, like Felix, concerning he trembled when the word of God was preached. When was the last time you trembled at the word of God? Say, well, he didn't obey the gospel as far as we know, but the whole thing is that he trembled. And if you realize that you're not right with God, why delay another day? Today is the day of salvation. Or if you need to be restored through repentance and prayer, this is the time. This is the opportunity. The Philippian jailer went from suicide to salvation in 60 minutes. The recognition concerning Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and he was baptized along with all of his household, the forgiveness of sins. And now we can grow to learn to fear the Lord and appreciate and be thankful for his love and grace and mercy, which leads to eternal life. If you're not on the road to heaven, but on the road to hell, God calls. We encourage you, come right now as we stand and sing that song.